Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. It is I, Mike, as always, and joining me this week, he is the Ottawa Senators correspondent, writer, coverage for Hockey Hot Stove. He covers the Ottawa Senators. He does it all. Mr. Murray Pam. Murray, welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be here on an American Thanksgiving.
Yes. And ironically, was an American who does not celebrate Thanksgiving. So,
well, as a Canadian, I'm going to say, here's my Ottawa Senators gravy boat for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I have my Capitals 50th anniversary one on my bookcase over there somewhere. Can't see it with all the OVs behind me right now. But with that, real quick, the More Phenomenal Hockey Show is brought to you by Cool Hockey. You like the jerseys you see me wearing on the show? Head over to the official NHL jersey retailer for the show and TXHT Hockey. Use our exclusive link of coolhockey.com/TXHT. Again, that is coolhockey.com/TXHT. And order your NHL jersey today. So Murray, we're going to hop right into before we get into it, I do need to issue an apology to my listeners/viewers because last week we were supposed to have a PWHL preview show. It did not happen. Things fell through with the guests. So I do apologize. I don't like going 2 weeks without an episode. It's just the way it happened. But don't worry, in 2 weeks, I'll have Rachel Donner of Hockey Hot Stove on the show. We'll be doing a 2 week recap for the first 2 weeks of the season. And doing maybe some little bit more previewish stuff that I originally wanted to talk about last week. So I do apologize for that, but we are planning on a guest in 2 weeks, and I'm going to be working on getting player interviews on the show. I'm going to try every week. I can't promise that part, though. So with that, Murray, the Ottawa Senators. Big announcement yesterday for the Ottawa Senators. We're recording this, obviously, as we said already, on Thanksgiving, that Brady Tkachuk is coming back to the lineup tomorrow, Black Friday, as it's known here in the States. How big is that for the Ottawa Senators, especially the fact that they've actually been doing pretty well these last 6 weeks without their captain in the lineup?
Oh, they certainly have. They've actually gone 11-5-4 without Brady in their lineup. And there was a bit of a bump when he was first out. I think the team went out of three or four games, but
well, I
since
know
then
the second game they annihilated my team.
There you go. They did. It was 7-1, wasn't that?
It was 7-1, and that was Ovechkin's 1500th game too.
That's
So
correct.
It's like
that's correct. Actually, the Senators had back to back 7-goal games because the game prior to that they scored seven
It
against
was after
Boston.
that. It was the after the
Sorry,
game against
the game
Washington.
after
Yeah,
that.
yeah.
Okay, there you go. Got my games mixed up, but they did score back to back seven.
And then they lost
And
seven to something to Chicago the following game
they
after
did.
that. So there's a lot of
They
sevens
did.
there for the Senators for a moment.
They did. They did. And ironically, that's the last time they gave up more than, I think, three or four goals in regulation since then. And they've been on a roll since then. They've only actually lost three games in regulation since that Chicago game in 6 weeks, which is incredible right now. But yeah, it was a big announcement yesterday. We kind of knew it was coming. Brady has been obviously skating for, you know, a good 2-3 weeks pretty hard right now. So it was just a matter of getting his hand, you know, back to, I guess, his, you know, back to his strength. And he's been working on stick handling and shooting the last 2-3 weeks. So he's been able to do that. He says there's no issues. And he's also started to try to take some faceoffs also the last few days of practices. So with that, I mean, it's going to be a huge boost to the team. And he was kind of targeting this game in St. Louis because it's also his hometown and his front of his friends and family. So it's a big deal for him and it's a big deal for the team. And interestingly enough, the team is actually having dinner, Thanksgiving dinner at the Kachucks' house this evening. So as a group, which is, I would like to be a fly on the wall to dinner. It'd be a lot of fun, I would assume.
I
And
think we'll
but
find out
yeah,
soon enough on that new
I
podcast
think
that Brady and Matthew are doing now, which we'll talk about in a
exactly.
little bit. So.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, obviously there's gonna be a huge infusion in the lineup, but sometimes, as you know, when players are out of the lineup, sometimes it takes two, three games to get back in, you know, to hit their stride. And as well, also being out the lineup for so long, 20 games, you know, then your lines are gonna be jumbled again, once again. And so you're gonna have to, you know, Travis Green will have to find some chemistry elsewhere, because you know Brady's probably going to slide in with Tim Stützle, probably Drake Batherson on the right side. We're not sure yet, but again, and then downwards, obviously it affects the rest of the line. So that's something again that the players will have to get used to and find that chemistry once again. So it could take, you know, two, three games to get back into it. So, and they're also still in the midst of this 7-game road trip, and they have 3 games left on this road trip. Obviously, they were out in California. They did the California trip, 3 games. They were in Vegas. You got St. Louis, Dallas, and
Montreal.
yeah, I was going to say, in a strange twist, they're going to play close to home on their 7th game of the road trip before actually coming home in Montreal.
Well, it's interesting you say that because the Capitals are playing the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow on Black Friday, or for those listening today on Black Friday, as we release this on at noon on Friday. But then the Capitals on Sunday, they go on a 4-game road trip, but their first game is on Long Island before they go out to California for the California trip.
Yeah, see,
So it's
some of it
always
does make
kind of
sense.
weird how they schedule it sometimes like that. So.
Yeah, and that's actually, I've heard that from a lot of teams this year. When Calgary was in Ottawa, they had a strange trip. Edmonton, the staff was saying that their trip was odd. So, I mean, I think it's just around the league, especially with that long month-long break in February. So they're just trying to fit everything in any way they can at the moment, especially trying to fill open dates in arenas, I guess.
Yeah, I know with the Capitals, last month they did a road trip and they're in Tampa, then they went to Carolina, then they went to the Panthers, and then they came home and it was like, but normally when you do this trip, you're Tampa, Florida, then Carolina, come home. And
Right.
then
And
actually even on the California trip, I believe the Caps are playing LA and then the very next night San Jose and then 2 days later Anaheim.
okay. Well, the Senators just did the same thing.
Yeah,
So
and it's like
basically,
this
in
makes no
reverse,
sense,
in
you know.
reverse, they did Anaheim, San Jose, and then back to LA. So
Yeah,
as well, just now. So
it's very confusing.
it is.
But we can thank this stupid Olympic break for causing these issues.
Exactly.
It's been very made clear on this show, so it's not a shock to anybody. I'm adamantly against the Olympic break. I'm against the players going. It's bad business for the NHL overall because it has never done anything positive for the NHL. It's been proven.
Yeah.
There's only two times they've had a little bit of bump, twice. That was
Yeah.
2002 in Salt Lake City and 2010 in Vancouver. Every other one, especially the overseas ones, have not done a single bump in viewership or interest for the NHL.
I like seeing best on best when possible. But again, yeah, with the long break, it just kind of, you kind of have that stop in the season, and he's just kind of hang out and go, oh, and then you try to remember exactly where you were and what you were doing, and when they get back. And also, there's also that risk of injury. And I think,
Just ask the Islanders
yeah.
when they had John Tavares
Well,
that
I'll give
year.
you
They're
the.
in a playoff. They're in a playoff position, and then Tavares got it, blew out his knee. Islanders are out of the playoffs.
Well, I have just another one too. 2006, Dominic Hasek, best
Oh
goalie
yeah.
in the NHL, Ottawa Senators. They were on a roll. They were driving to the playoffs. They probably were cup bound, or, you know, they were a Stanley Cup contender at that point in time. They lost Dominic Hasek, and they flamed out in the playoffs. And that was it. They lost him for the whole season. And the next year, well, they didn't have Hasek though, but the next year with that same team, with Ray Emery, they went to the Stanley Cup final. So who knows what they would have done in 2006.
Yeah, it's a lot of risk and not much reward when we look at it. And then when you bring in four nations and you saw how McDavid kind of came out, even though he never admitted it, came out banged up out of that tournament. Obviously, Matthew Tkachuk was badly injured from the tournament. I think Brady might have been beaten up coming out of the tournament.
He was.
Yeah. Like, you had all these guys, particularly on Team Canada and Team USA, who were so beat up from that tournament because they really went into it. That negatively affected some teams
No,
going. I mean,
T. Theodore too. Broke his
yeah.
wrist, did he not? And
And then
then
Alex Pietrangelo
and Mac,
for Vegas. Yeah.
McAvoy.
Yeah.
Another one. So.
So, yeah, it's. I can go on to another rant about the Four Nations, but I'll save that for another time because that wasn't as successful as people made it out to be. Great short-term success, not long-term. but going back to the Senators, obviously, what are some things that you're hoping for? Are you hoping maybe like you mentioned 2 to 3 games, for Brady coming in, it could be. Are you kind of hoping that maybe it's better, like the way when Ovechkin last season, he broke the leg in Utah, missed 16 games, and then comes back and he just picks up like he did it, never missed a beat. Or do you actually think it could, or be, especially the fact that you said that he's been practicing the last 2, 3 weeks, he's been really working on stick handling, he just started doing face-off practice, that maybe that's more of a better scenario for the Senators, that he can just top right in and
Yeah, I think
like he
he's.
never missed a beat.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. Because he has been working out. He actually was being on the ice 6 days after his surgery, work doing power skating. So he says he's basically probably in better condition than he has been in a long time, just due to that. He's been able to skate, and he's done so much more skating in the last month than he probably ever has done, And but I'm more concerned about the rest of the team. And now you're taking away maybe some chemistry that was built over time with him gone to put him in the lineup. Obviously, you want him in the lineup, and he has to be in the lineup. So there's no argument about that. But it's just going to see how the rest of the team plays, and with the chemistry involved. That's I think is the main concern. I think the power play will be much improved. They were top five in the power play, I believe, when he was injured. They've slipped now. They're down to about, I think, 11 or 12. They've only scored, I think, 4 goals in the last high 20s, mid 20s chances on the power play. So there's something obviously he's going to help them, and they'll probably get back up there eventually. So there's one thing that they'll improve upon, and obviously the scoring as well. Obviously he's a 30 goal scorer. So you're basically adding a 30 goal scorer from scratch into the lineup again. So there's that as well, which is, it's always a good thing.
Yeah. I want to shift real quick to goaltending. I want to talk about Linus Ullmark. Compared to how he played last season, how his playoffs went, and how he's playing now, how would you rate Ullmark right now?
Well, Linus started slow last season. Obviously he was a bit banged up, but he was slow out of the gate. Eventually, he was able to turn his season around, and he did quite well. He helped get him into the playoffs last season. He had some good playoff games, some bad, but obviously, they got to the playoffs. And this season again, he started slowly, slowly in training camp. Admittedly, too, he was self-admitted, like, hey, I haven't been performing to my best, and the start of the season again quite slow. But in the we'll go to the last 7 games, he hasn't allowed more than 3 goals. Yeah, I think he hasn't allowed more than 3 goals a game, I don't believe, in regulation in the last 7 starts. So there's that as well. So he seems to have turned his game around from the beginning of the season. And Travis Green actually said that last in as well. He said the last 4 or 5 games, Linus has been excellent. And I had toothpicks going there last night, but they're in Vegas, and it ended
That
up winning
bounce in
in,
the third period was
yes,
crazy.
exactly. So I
That
mean,
was such a crazy bounce.
yeah, I mean he stood up in the third period. They looked like a tired team last night in the third period. Obviously they were up 3-1, but you could see Vegas was just coming, coming, coming. And when they actually got to the tie, that's when you saw Linus. He really stood tall in the net after that. I mean, that breakaway stop on Eichel, that was crucial. The last few minutes of the game, and And also the shootout, he this is something that I wrote on last night, was that he's been in three shootouts this season. He's yet to allow a goal, which is
Impressive.
something. It is impressive. He stopped seven shots, all seven shots that he's faced. And there was a podcast, the Locked On Senators podcast today, posted a stat which I was totally unaware of. He's actually the number one goalie in save percentage in NHL shootouts all time, which I was completely not aware of, which is an interesting stat.
Yeah, that's a good stat. And you had mentioned the playoffs. He had some good games, he had some bad. It was kind of the same deal with him in Boston as well. Had some good games, had some bad as well. He did an interview with Daily Faceoff today, and one of the things that has been coming out the last, like, I guess, week or two, and it was touched on in this interview, was about his desire to play for Sweden in the Olympics. Do you think him playing for Sweden in the Olympics could give him that confidence boost that he needs to be a better playoff goaltender?
For sure. For sure. I mean, that's his goal, and to be dialed in. And right now he is dialed in, and if he wants to reach that, obviously there was a bit of controversy at the Four Nations, where he obviously at that point where anyway, but at the Four Nations where I don't did he not get that invite right away? He
I don't
didn't get the invite.
remember.
Yeah, but he ended up getting in there, I believe. And then,
Yeah,
but
because I think it
I
might have been
think,
Filip Gustavsson that I think they might have gone with as the number one.
right.
Yeah.
He did get in. He got in a game, I believe, at the Four Nations. But there was a lot of, was he going to be in consideration or not? It was a kind of an odd situation. But he's dialed in. He wants to be at the Olympics. So I think Linus is goal oriented, and I think if he has his mind up, man made up, I think with that goal, he can definitely help the Ottawa Senators, obviously, and they also have Levi Mäkiräinen back there as well, who's actually doing quite well as well. So they got a great tandem. Levi's stretch last year where he got those three shutouts. As well, just coming into the league and in an injury situation when Allmark wasn't there. So that was really good. And this year he had that one poor start. He was the starter in Chicago, which was his first start. He allowed seven goals, but since then he's played he's had four starts, and he let in three goals once and two goals each of the three other games. So I think the tandem's fine moving forward, and goaltending isn't a question, I think, for the Ottawa Senators now. I think they're also ninth, I believe, now in goals against average in the league, which is good, because in the first, I think, opening 3 weeks, I think they were like bottom. So they moved all the way up to ninth. So, I mean, the goaltending is not a problem in Ottawa.
Yeah. So real quick, we're going to transition to a couple other things real quick. But before we do, the More Phenomenal Hockey Show is also brought to you by Oats Overnight. When we're on the go but still need breakfast, Oats Overnight is the healthy on-the-go breakfast choice for the show and TXHT Hockey. Use our exclusive link in the description on both TXHTHockey.com and in the YouTube show description to try Oats Overnight today. I had strawberries bananas yesterday. It was delicious. Go get some. So like I said, we're going to transition r briefly. You had mentioned like goals against average, how it's got like overall. Let's talk about parity. There is so much parity in the NHL right now. Like I've talked about this with Bill Meltzer. I've talked about this with Ted Starkey, and a few others. And the parity is absolutely insane right now in the NHL. Like, I have the standings up in front of me, and I have it by division. In the Atlantic Division, you have the Tampa Bay Lightning first with 30 points. Ottawa's in second with 28 points. At the bottom, it's Buffalo with 22. And then in seventh, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs with 23. That's still an 8-point gap between the first place team and the eighth place team in the Atlantic Division. A couple wins. that for the Buffalo Sabres and a couple losses by the Lightning, and you now have a flip scenario right there. And then in the Metropolitan Division right now, the Devils are in first place with 31 points, and the New York Rangers are in sixth, are in eighth place with 26 points. That's a 5-point differential between first and eighth place in the division. We're not even going to talk about the Central and the Colorado Avalanche because they're just insane right
They're
now.
a wagon, yeah.
They're, yeah, exactly. They're a wagon right now. We're not going to talk about Colorado, but you see that also in the Western Conference where there's all this parity, maybe with the exception of like St. Louis and Calgary and Nashville. Like they're kind of like the outliers in this scenario. But what is your thought on how this season has been playing out so far? Because especially like, you know, there's always the thing about with American Thanksgiving, this is the barometer of whether a team is going to make the playoffs or not. But with this type of parity, you know, what can we say about that?
Yeah, I think definitely in the East, when you're looking at the parity, I think the Buffalo Sabres are probably the only team right now who probably doesn't have the horses, let's say, to get there. But every other team probably does almost to get, you know. So I think there's going to be some drop off, I think, at some point for some of the teams just naturally. But right now in the season, I think, well, let's take a look at the Florida Panthers. They're not in a playoff spot. They have so many injuries right now. I mean, when the players do return, are they going to be too far down to get back up? We don't know. Same with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Obviously, they're just getting the Matthews back right now, and Knives back. So, are they going to be able to go on a run? They got a win last night. They eked out a win, but maybe on a game they probably shouldn't have. But the parity, and I wrote about this as well the other day, is that. You could win one game, like the Ottawa Senators. I said you can win one night and you'll be in second place. The next night you might be out of the playoffs if you lose. It's as you're just discussing, it's that close, right?
I
So,
mean,
and
it
there has
happened
been
last
adjustments.
night. It happened last
It
night for the
actually,
Capitals. The
yeah.
Capitals won, and now they're in a they're third place of the division. La
And I
la
believe that'll,
when they when they
yep.
went into the game, they're actually, I think, in fifth place
I
or
believe
fourth
that
place.
happened Saturday. I believe that happened on, with the game against LA with the Senators, they dropped out of the playoffs when they were up in around second place as well, and they came back right up again. It's good for the game, to be honest. It's good for the fans to follow their teams. And
Have that
I know
hope.
Gary Bettman made a parity with the salary cap, but this is really one of the first years that I've seen that the teams are all even. Most of them are spending to the cap or as much as they can. And there's not much separation at all right now. So all it takes, like you said, is one good run or one bad run, and you're in or you're out. And I think this is going to go on all season for now. I think it's going to go on all season. It's going to be exciting for the playoff races for sure. But to
So what
put
you're saying is
one,
that we're going to have a lot of stressed out hockey fans in a lot of markets this season.
I think so. And also, and we were also discussing this with Steve Steos, just maybe a couple of weeks ago. It's going to be hard to make trades, to be honest, especially at the trade deadline, closer to the trade deadline. So if you want to make trades, you might want to do it now. Because the trade deadline, you could have as many as a dozen teams playing for eight spots, and you never know on a given night where you're going to be. So you might have to strike early while you can. Because later on, it actually might be harder to deal.
Well, we know the Vancouver Canucks have put out a notice saying that, hey, let's talk about some of our veterans. So we know at least one team who's potentially going to be a seller, and possibly a much sooner than a lot of people think too.
Exactly. Vancouver's probably going to jump ship. There's a lot of players there that, I know Brock Besser just signed a deal, but. I think you might have a bit of a no trade. I'm not sure. You got guys like that. There's
I know
always going to be this.
Kiefer Sherwood
Sure,
has been
Philly's on
mentioned.
his line.
Connor Garland
Yep,
has been
Connor Garland,
mentioned.
keepers. Yep, and then also there's going to be these Quinn Hughes rumors. They're never going to go away.
He's going to the Devils. We already know
He's
it. You know, it's
going to the
like,
Devils. He's going to Detroit. Going to the Devils. He's going somewhere.
yeah. I didn't hear
He's
the.
probably.
So it's funny you mentioned Detroit just now about Quinn Hughes, and the funny thing about that is it didn't dawn on me because I don't dig so deep into the players' lives and all this other stuff. But somebody fears, like, oh, well, if he goes to Detroit, then the other two Hughes can find their way to Detroit eventually because now they're closer to home and all this other stuff. And I'm like,
Exactly.
oh, I didn't figure that. I just kind of figured he'd just go to New Jersey because that Luke just
They're
has
right there.
that 7-year contract now. And, Jack, I think, has like 5 more years on his deal or something. So it's like, so you kind of figure New Jersey's the shoe-in on that one. But then when
They
Detroit got thrown
probably,
out there in the reason, I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense
well, it's
too.
because of their ties to Detroit and to Michigan, obviously, but again, does New Jersey even, well, they might have to actually the assets to get Quinn, but we'll see what they would have to do to get him. But also, if he's traded, let's say this year, he's not gonna come with an extension.
Yeah,
So
because he's got like what, 2 years left on his
he's still
deal?
got 2 years left on his deal. So if you're not, let's say you're not New Jersey, or let's say Detroit, for example, because he's at home, there's a huge risk involved in trading for him.
Because you
So
know
the
that
Ottawa
after
is,
those 2 years, he could just be like, well, I'm going to go be with my brothers now after those 2 years. So, and then real quick, we had alluded to it earlier, wanted to bring it up. Brady and his brother Matthew are doing the Wingmen podcast. Third episode came out yesterday. What are your thoughts on the brothers doing the podcast, and how involved are the Senators, the Panthers, and the league on the podcast, being how they are currently active NHL players?
I think the podcast, first of all, will start off. I think it's good for I guess for the NHL. It brings attention, and there's a lot of fans, I guess casual NHL fans, who may have just watched the Four Nations, or they're fans of just US hockey, that kind of thing, and maybe they watch at playoff time, so they saw Matthew Tkachuk. These guys have big personalities, and I think it brings character, I guess, to the sport, because hockey's kind of one of those sports where there's a lot of, I'd say vanilla, but there's a lot of vanilla personalities, as you know, I guess,
Well, I wouldn't
in
call it vanilla. I would call it more
but
guarded.
okay.
It's more, I definitely get the vibe that it's more guarded on a lot of things when it comes to hockey.
You could use that term, but again, these guys want to put it out there, and they just want to talk hockey and make it fun and enjoyable for everyone, and just talk about their experiences. And I think the league, I think, I don't know personally what, how the league feels about it, but I think they probably have to put their stamp on it that it's okay, because they want to bring their sport into the forefront, and just for popularity's sake across the, I guess more so across the United States rather than Canada, because, Canadians live, breathe hockey every day. So it's just one of those things, right? And for the Ottawa Senators and the Florida Panthers, I don't think neither team minds it. I think also it brings more fans, and maybe tries to get a bigger fan base towards the Ottawa Senators, knowing that Brady's there. If you like what he has to say and you like his play on the ice, that might actually bring them more fans that they haven't had before. Same thing with merchandising, all that kind of thing that you can, can bring to the forefront. So I think it is a good thing. And Brady, actually, they were just speaking on the Zoom call about it today a little bit. And the way he says he's set up, it depends on the day they actually do the podcast. So he's set up at home, and he also has a setup. He says he's in a suitcase. They can pop up in a hotel room. So he says it's not a big deal, that they can just find their own time for both of them. Fortunately, right now Matthew is injured, so they can work it around it. And when they're both playing, though, it might be when they're both playing, it might be a little tougher to try to fit in a schedule, but they're going to try to do it, obviously, once a week and
Yeah,
as
because
much as they
they're gonna
can.
have to figure, like, especially when Matthew comes back, which the rumor is some point in December, like probably Christmas time for Matthew. Like they'll just
And
have to do like what I do when I schedule guests
there you
like
go.
you and Bill Meltzer and Starkey. I looked at the Ottawa Senators schedule and I put the Capitals right next to it, going, all right, what day's gonna work here?
Exactly,
You know,
exactly.
so and so I
So,
could see the Kachuk brothers doing the exact same thing. They're gonna put Ottawa and Florida schedules right next to each other and go, what are you doing? Hey,
yeah.
you're not playing this week, this day, I'm not playing this day, let's record, you know. So
Obviously, and I think towards the playoffs, I know nobody said anything like about it right now, but I think it'd be hard probably to do a podcast around that time period, and that might be a tough thing to do. And obviously, with everything going on around that, it might be. Not sure if it'd be an actual good thing to do the podcast,
Could
depending
you
what's being said.
I would have put this out there into the ether. Could you imagine Ottawa versus Florida,
Exactly.
and on the off days of one of the of like the 2 weeks, they record an episode in the middle of the series? That would be like you're talking about fly on the wall for Thanksgiving dinner right now at the Kachuk house. Be a fly on the wall for like that would be like the ultimate fly on the wall moment if they record a podcast in the middle of an Ottawa Florida
Exactly.
series in the
See,
playoffs.
that one I would want to see, actually. So,
So, but I also think that the NHL probably has their PR people listening to the episodes before they go out too, because they also probably don't want things that could, you know, potentially make the league look bad or, you know, something like that. And that's why I also asked the question, like, is the league, how is the league potentially involved? Because, because there are clauses in the contracts, you know, about representing the league and stuff like that. So, you know, it's always an interesting thing to look at. And obviously, people have compared this already to the Kelce brothers from the NFL. Granted, Jason Kelce is retired and Travis is still playing in, or I might have that reverse. I don't know. I don't watch American football. So, but still, one's still playing for the Chiefs, one's retired. You know, so it's a little easier for them. Plus, with their schedule, it's always different. Last thing, real quick, before I let you go, sir, I gotta ask. We talked about this in like the private message chat. I'm obviously wearing the Oilers' new alternate jersey. This is a nice one. I got Zach Hyman. The Ottawa Senators came out with a new alternate jersey. You and I talked about it briefly, and actually, you had mentioned something about like seeing the numbers because of just like the black and the gold. And then I turned on the game and I go, I see what you're talking about, but I still love the jersey. I think it looks amazing. What are your
No.
overall thoughts on the jerseys outside of maybe visibility from the press box or even on television looking at the numbers?
I've been flip-flopping on this jersey since day one, the first time I saw the preview video for it. So when I saw the video the first time, I thought it was way too busy. I thought it was there's just too much going on in that video, like too much going on in the jersey. And then I see it up close for the first time. It's awesome the way they did the coloring, and it's more innovative too. It's the embossing of the logo, and they have a little maple leaf that you can't see, but it's at the bottom of the jersey.
Oh, it's kind of
There's a
like this with the Oilers where they have
yeah,
the little tag, and the
exactly.
Capitals did it on theirs too with the DC flag.
Yeah, they got a Parliament Hill hidden on there too. I mean, it looks real, and even the armbands are kind of not sparkly, but they kind of had the shadowing on it, and it looks
Oh,
really
like
good.
the kind of like the embedding, like the Vegas jerseys.
Yes,
Yeah.
it has that, and that up close in front of your face or wearing it like you're wearing it, it looks really good. But when you're far from above, it's not as good as you think it is. But just because of the numbers, actually. So it's hard to make out the numbers. If you're a fan, if you're, I've had a comment from a couple of other reporters for other teams. They said it was hard to see the numbers. They couldn't make out the players. Fortunately for us, we know who the players are on the ice, so we know who the players are. But yeah, it's so I'm still so on them, but the actual jersey up close, great. From afar, maybe not so good.
Yeah.
So I'm not for work, for work value, right? So, but there's and I mean, if you go online, you'll see a lot of positive, again, not a lot of negative. Again, it's either they're very detailed or they're just too busy.
Yeah, I know before the
Yeah.
season started, I actually did an article for TXHDHockey.com where I actually reviewed every jersey that was unveiled during the offseason before the season started. And I gave Ottawa's jersey glowing remarks. I love the detail. I love what they did with the center crest. It just, I don't own a Senators jersey yet in my collection. Actually, that's not true. I do have one. I have the black alternate jersey to Peter Bondra, because he was my childhood hero growing up, and I got his jersey after the Caps traded him to Ottawa. And but for one that I would wear, I would definitely buy that jersey for the collection. So, but with that, Murray, it has been a pleasure. Real quick, please plug yourself. Where can the people find you on social media and Hockey Hot Stove?
At Hockey Hot Stove, hockeyhotstove.com, and at Pammer Hockey on X.
All right. And then obviously, you can find this show at txhthockey.com. And of course, txht underscore hockey on all social media except for Facebook. That is txht hockey because we couldn't get the little underscore for Facebook. Somebody took it from us. So with that, this has been the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. We'll be back next week. Maybe Toro's coming back. Stay tuned for that. And until next time, we'll see you on the ice.